Okay, let's just remember where we were. So, the Gemara had been dealing with the position of Ruhuna, that when you shecht an animal, if you know that the shechita went well, meaning the shechita itself had no problems with it, so then you're allowed to assume that the animal is kosher. But if there was a problem with the shechita, so then there's a chazaka that carries over from when the animal was alive, that tells you that since you're now in a case of doubt, whatever the case may be, right, you shechted it and there's a nick in the knife, and you know if the nick happened before you shechted or after shechted, whatever it's going to be, so you presume it's usher based on chazaka. Rashi does is argue about what the chazaka is. Rashi says that it's chazaka of Aver Menachai, since it used to be prohibited because it was alive. So now, it continues to be usher. Now, from here, we saw that many of the Acharim derive that Rashi holds mechazkin and meisr leisr, that if you have one isr, if you have one reason that something's prohibited, you can transfer the assumption that it's prohibited to something which is unrelated. And even though in this case, as Tosfos notes, it makes no sense to carry over the prohibition of Aver Menachai to a dead animal, because you may not know that it's kosher, you may not know it was shechted, but you know it was dead, therefore it can no longer be alive. He carries over the Isser anyways. The reason may be, as the Acharnim suggest, because if you think that Chazaka isn't about deriving facts, it's simply that Chazaka means that Halacha allows you to continue based on presumptions. Right? It's an anhaga. It tells you this is how you can act. So then it doesn't matter why it's usher, however you had to relate to the animal before, you have to continue to relate to it now unless you know differently. Tosfos doesn't accept this, because presumably he rejects mechazkin and misr l'isser, which, as the Acharonim note, might mean because he thinks chazaka is actually an attempt at assessing reality, and it makes no sense to say that, well, it was alive, now it's shechted, so it's still prohibited because it might be alive. That's obviously ridiculous. And therefore he says it's not true. But in order to solve the problem, Tosfos invents a new chazaka called Eina Zvucha, that it's not shechted. So those were two ways of explaining the Gemara. We noted two others, the Pnei Yeshua, who understand this simply is basically Safek Darais the Chumra. And that's all it really means, right? It's not really about chazakot. It's just that it used to be usser. Now I don't know that it's mutzer. It's in a case of doubt. If it's doubt, then we err on the side of prohibition. And then we saw the Rashba interpreter of Rabbi Eger. Who says that maybe it's a bit different. This was in 10, right? It came to Chol Chaim Shemes Aser Mishum Nevela. Right? Maybe he said really the Isser is Nevela, because you don't know that it was Shechted. The Kovet Shirim had said maybe the reason this is true is because if you think that Shechita is a constant permitter, right? It's a matir, needs to actively permit something, so whenever there's a doubt whether the Shechita was good, so that means there's no direct knowledge that the permission that comes from shechita took effect. I mean, that's why it is prohibited. So that was what we'd seen last time. We were up to.
I think you should say something a little different. Didn't he say there was a neutral point?
Yeah. He's saying it's neutral, and therefore Safek Darais L'Chumra, right? If it's 50-50. Now, in 12. This is what we were up to. The one thing before we move to Chezkas Shein HaZvucha that's important here is that until now we've assumed that Rashi here represents a universal rule, namely Mechazkin and Me'isr L'Isr, that whenever you have one prohibition, even if the fact pattern changes, you're allowed to carry over halachic assumptions from one prohibition to another. That may not be true. It may be that Rashi's argument is local, and not, meaning he wouldn't hold this in every case. It's uniquely in this case where we go from an animal being alive and being prohibited, Aver Menachai, to it being dead, but maybe not shechted, that he carries over the Isser. And in Daf al Adaf, in number 12, they summarize the Achronim's argument in this direction. They say as follows: Kasvu ha'achronim, derak legabe yisro eber minachai, de yisro haya mishasha nolda behema, sfir le l'rashi, de mechaskin misro le'isr. So maybe what's unique about Eber Menachai is that it's always existed. Right? This animal has never been permitted. It was born Usur, because as soon as it was alive, it was Usur under Eber Menachai. And now either it, you know, has become Shechted or not. But that's not true of all prohibitions. Aval be'isr v'chazaka shenizhava kigon bi'avama shekodem shenisa es haisa muteres lakol v'raki shenisa es nasas ishes ish. But another one of the classic sugya, which I don't want to get into, but where they bring this up is what happens in a case of yibum, where you right, you're not, you know, there are different variations in the case, but where you know, a woman's husband dies, and either you don't know, you know, if there's brothers. If there's no brother, obviously she would be permitted to everyone because there'd be no yibum, or if she had a child at some point. Now, in that case, if you assume that she is obligated in yibum, so then you prohibit her from marrying any other person until you clarify the yibum situation. But there, she wasn't always prohibited to the whole world, right? Meaning, when she was born, she was single. She could marry anybody. Then she got married. She was prohibited to everybody. Now, her husband's died. And normal fact pattern would say that when a husband dies, she should become permitted to everyone. It happens to be that if she dies without children and her husband has a brother, so then she would be obligated in Yibum and she'd be prohibited to everybody. Now, what happens in a case of doubt when you're functioning in Chazakah? So some of the Achronim argue that Rashi may not assume that in every case we would carry over the Chazakah. And that's what he says. As Gam Rashi yodid lo amrina and the mechazkin and miser l'iser. In that case, maybe he wouldn't, because maybe the Achronim suggests only these like super chazaka, right? Like things that have existed with something for life, that the animal never knew a non-usser state, right? That you carry over Isurim, because right, literally, the animal has never been permitted. So it's not such a stretch to say, look, unless we know that the animal is now permitted to eat, it's not permitted to eat, because it's never been permitted to eat. It was alive, and now it's dead, but it might not be shechted. That's the right one.
Why would the cases even be similar? Because in the case of the woman, you could find out what the truth is eventually.
You might be able to, you might not, right? You could have had a child and the child died, right? Maybe you never figured it out, right? There could be cases. I don't want to get into all the details there, but the only reason this is important is because there are other sugyot where Rashi implies that we don't hold mechazkin and miser l'iser, and that's why the Achronim start saying maybe he doesn't hold this always. Again, if we try to sort of go down that rabbit hole, we'll never get out of it. So I didn't go through all of it. I just gave you that quick summary. Okay, that's to put that half of the sugya behind us. The second half of the sugya, as we saw, is this notion of chazaka shena zvucha. Right, Tosus doesn't like Rashi, as we've said. He doesn't like this notion that an animal can die and it can still have a carryover prohibition from Eber Menachai because it's dead, it's not alive. Right? Tosfos just doesn't like this. But Tosfos so doesn't like this that to solve the problem, he invents a new chazak, a new status, called non-shechted, which at first glance is quite a novel position. What does it mean to be non-shechted? You know, normally we would think that there's no such thing as non-shechted. You have an obligation to shech, but there's not like a status of non-shechted, but Tosfos asserts that such a category exists. Now, there's a lot you could do on this chazak shena zvucha, so I limited myself just to one issue that comes up in the Achronim, because just getting through that, we'll try to do our best to get through it. The Achronim really try to understand what Tosfos wants here. And specifically, they note that there are two implications to something being a nevela. Right? If something is shechted, and the shechita is improper, and now it's a nevela, right? Or it dies without shechita at all, and it's a nevela, So there's two implications. One is, it's not kosher. You can't eat it. The other is that it's tameh. Right? Is that it's impure. Because nevela is not pure. So the...
Whereas the trefa is...
A trefa is has different... A trefa, it's not true. Right? A trefa with good shechita is not tameh. Right?
That's a big deal.
Yes. It's a bit more complicated than that.
Everything's but, a bit more complicated.
Yes. I mean, I have to give lip service to this. There is this... Amongst briskers, this is one of their favorite sugyas because as the legend goes, and I don't know whether it's true. Okay, well, I'll say what is true. The legend, I don't know, is true. Reb Chaim has a very elegant piece analyzing the Rambam's position, the difference between nevela and trefa. That's true. The part that I don't know whether it's true is that that was his bar mitzvah pshetel. That I don't know whether that's true. Right? I do know that that it's a very nice piece. It's very elegant. It's very, you know, that I know. I mean, you know, you don't have to agree with it. But it's true he wrote on it. If it was at his bar mitzvah, I don't know. You know, it's like, I don't really know. I mean, maybe, it could be it's explicit somewhere. But I you know, the Shev Shmaitz, as we'll see in a moment, was it really that every day of Sheva Brachos, he gave one of the seven pieces in Shmaitz, each of which is like 30 pages long and dense beyond belief? I don't know. Did anyone ever want to come to a family simcha after that? I assume not. I don't know. You know?
Did he stay married?
Yeah. It's like there are all these things that go around, and these, you know, the Grizz learned Nazir while he was engaged. Okay, I don't know. That's when he wrote his Chidushim on Nazir? Sure, I don't know. No such things are possible. They could all even be true. I just don't know. But anyway, what the Achronim try to figure out is what exactly does Tosfos, what does Tosfos mean? When Tosfos says that there's a chazaka, she'in nezvucha, so does that mean that this animal is now, because of that chazaka, not kosher? It definitely means that, right? That much you can't deny. The Gemara says that's what the data in the Gemara we're trying to explain is that an animal which was shechted and now a doubt has been raised regarding its shechita. The assertion of Rav Huna is that the animal is now not allowed to be eaten. That's true. Tosfos explains that because of Eina Zvucha. What the Achronim try to figure out is, does Tosfos think that it's also the case that such an animal is going to be tame, right? Is going to get tumas nevela. Because the question they're really asking is, what is the relationship between these two statuses that come from nevela? Meaning, is it that a nevela, by definition, meaning something which dies without shechita, by definition, takes a status called nevela, and once it's nevela, it's not kosher, and it is impure? Or are those two separate halachot? What? Yeah, except it's actually not briskers. Neither is the Shev Shmaitz. Shev Shmaitz is a pre-brisker, and the Shari Yosher is the, you know, is a telzer. He's a telzer, right? You know, he's not...
I know, but I'm just saying.
You could see the briskers loving this. I happen to give you two achronim, one who's a pre-brisker,
right,
and one who is a telzer. Okay, shine. But what can you do? They do. Just
who's with, the Shariosha?
Well, Rishmishka. Yeah.
Oh, so, a European Telzer.
Yeah, yeah, no, Mamisha Telzer. No, real Telzer. Not a
Cleveland Telzer.
No. Like, this is the real deal. Like, the real deal here, Shariosha. Rishmishka Shmait says, obviously,
yeah,
Earlier than that, but he's he's the same person who wrote the Ketot. This is always like classic in yeshiva. No one knows his name. Right?
Why are we talking trefa?
His name is Aryeh Lev Heller, but yeah. You know, he also wrote the Ketot.
Why are we talking trefa? Why are we talking nevela?
Because that's what we're talking about here, right?
But if the knife is no good, then we're talking trefa.
No, we're talking nevela. Yeah. We're not talking trefa. We're talking nevela.
Nevela.
Right? Nevela means something that died without proper shechita. Trefa needs one of the 18 simani trefa. Uh-huh. Right? Getting a nick during shechita wouldn't make you a trefa. Yeah, right? Make you a nevela. Not you. Make an animal, nevela. Human beings, different story. So this is the question the Achronim note, and they use this to try to figure out what exactly is Tosfos getting at with Chazaka of Eina Zvucha. So I literally gave you two Achronim, right? You look at basically any like modern Sefer, this is what they do. They put the Shev Shmeitz on one side, and they put the Shaar Yosher on the other side. To be fair, that's what the Shaar Yosher himself does, right? Rav Shimon Shkab quotes the Shev Shmeitz and then argues on it. Okay. Now, the proximate machlokes is caused by the Gemara in 3. Right? If you go back to 3, the Gemara in Chulin itself seems to be getting at this question. Right? Because the Gemara says, Lo Bodak Meir, if you didn't check, so what's the halacha? Lazar ben Antigon, Bishum, Lazar ben Yanai Omer, Trefa, the Asura Bachila, Bamasnisa Tana Nevela Umitama Bamasa, right? So in this case, the Gemara is arguing, is it a trefa? Or, without getting to everything before that, in the Gemara, is it a trefa? Or is it a nevela? And again, the difference is that a trefa is just not kosher, and nevela is tame. And the Gemara says, Bamaika Mifligi, what are they arguing? Bidir Rav Huna, as we saw from Rav Huna, Da'amar Behema Bechaya, Bechezkas Isra Omedes, Ajur Dela Chabam Nishchata, Nishchata Hare Bechezkas Hetzar, Ajur Melea Chabam Nitrafa. Rav Huna said that an animal, while it's alive, is presumed to be usher, prohibited, until you know that it was shechted. Once it's shechted, so then it's assumed permitted. Mar Savar Bechezkas Isra Kaima Bahashta Mesehi. Right? The Gemara itself seems to raise this question. Meaning, what is the chazaka? Is the chazaka simply that it is prohibited? Or is the chazaka that... meaning, is it that it's prohibited, but not tameh? Or is it that it's, you know, ostensibly not shechted? In which case, both implications may carry over. But... within Tosos, the Achronim say, okay, well, what do we say, right? Within this Chazaka Shena Zvucha, what are you going to say? So if you look at 13, the Shev Shmaitz, it says as follows, V'ein lomer de Chazaka She'ina Zavuach lo mahani ela esra achila avalatuma leka Chazaka. Right, don't tell me that when Tosos introduces this Chazaka, that something isn't shechted, that it only works for the prohibition of eating, but it's not going to be impure. Da bechulin daftes... Because the Gemara we just read, which talks about someone who didn't check the simanim, right, didn't check the trachea and the esophagus, right, there the Gemara itself seems to have this machlokas. Va'anan kaimalon, right, and we paskin, right, the way he understands it is that Rav Huna, the way we interpret Rav Huna is Kamandi Amar Sham Dimitame Bamasa. That the conclusion is that if you didn't check the simanim, meaning after you shechted, you didn't check the esophagus, the trachea, not only can't you eat it, but you can't, right? It becomes impure even if you carry it, right? Tumas Nevela is a particularly strict tuma. It's tame even if you carry it. The chain cause of a riff. Va'afil Lamandi Amar Sham De'ena Mitame Bamasa. And even if you hold that in the case where you don't check the trachea, the esophagus, that it's not tameh when you carry it, kasva tosvos, vasuras, divrei maslav asuras, al tosvos there tells you that that's actually the exception. Why? Because that case where you didn't check the simanim, normally the shlita works and it's permitted on a daraisa level. It's only a dirabban chum emr. Anyways, l'chein l'achmiru bo lasus nevela. Therefore, we don't actually treat it like a nevela. Umuvur. But that implies from Tosos, de'imaya safek Torah, if ever you would have a case where a real biblical doubt would be raised as to the effectiveness of a shlita, according to everybody, as Tosos understand it, Hayam Mitama Lukule Alma Bimasa Umishum Chazaka Sheina Zavuach.
So what would be a case of something like, what's the difference if I don't check it?
Right? Yeah, the nick and the knife or something, right?
Okay.
Right, I mean, you don't check the simanim, it's chazaka is usually fine, right? But a nick and the knife,
okay.
Right? Like you find a nick in the knife, right? The case in Argamara, right? You shech and then you find a nick, right? Then he says, everyone would agree. The kol shein of zavuach mitamet b'masa, And what the Shev Shmaitza seems to hold is that what is this Chazaka She'ina Zvucha? Chazaka She'ina Zvucha is exactly what it sounds like. Namely, until an animal is shechted, there is a status called not shechted. And barring weird cases where really, really it's permitted on a biblical level, but we have a rabbinic chumrah where we can parse it and say, okay, it'll be usher to eat, but it won't be tamei, right? Which is the weird case in the Gemara Chulin, but that's the different case, right? Lo batek b'sim on him. But under a normal case, you shecht an animal, you find a nick in the knife. Now there's a biblical suffix. Did the shechita, was it valid or not? Did the nick happen before you shechted or after you shechted? Tosos would hold in such a case that if there's a chazaka shena zucha, that it has a status called, we assume it wasn't shechted properly, then all implications of nevela carry with it. And since there are two implications, namely that it can't eat it, and that it has severe tuma, right? That even if you carry it, you become impure. So that's what it's going to be. Those are inseparable, right? There's a status called nevela. Tosfos has this novelty that not only is there a status called nevela, there's a status called not shechted, which is the equivalent of nevela. That even something while it's alive has a status called non-shechted, and therefore when it's dead, unless you remove the status of non-shechted, it implicitly becomes a nevela, because a dead animal that is not shechted is a nevela for all intents and purposes. There is no splitting between the two elements of nevela. Nis.
But doesn't that flow if you're saying the chazaka is not that it's not shechted, but it's not shechted properly? That's the chazaka.
Yeah.
That's the entry point chazaka. It's not shechted properly. Then it's just a continuation.
Correct. And the Shev Shmaitz is very intuitive. Right? That once Tosus introduces the status called not shechted, not shechted properly, so then it's now dead, it's not shechted properly, then all implications carry with it. That's right. That's sort of the straightforward view, right? That the Avnei Miluim and the Shev Shmaitza says it, right? And that's why he parries the Gemara in Chulin, right? He says, the Gemara in Chulin implies that in a case where you don't check the Simanim, you don't check the esophagus, you don't check the trachea, so there is a position in the Gemara that it will be usher to eat, but it won't be impure. Doesn't that contradict Tosfos? So he says, no, for two reasons. One is we don't paskin that way. So even if there were a theoretical position in the Gemara like that, that's not how we paskin. So Tosfos only needs to justify himself according to the position we rule like. Namely, that an animal, that there's any doubt, whether it be in the Shechita or in, you know, it's the Simanim, right? The trachea or the esophagus or whatever. Right? Tosfos just, because we don't paskin like that, Tosfos can just say, look, Chazaka Shena Zvucha, with all implications. And then he says, and even according to the other position, maybe that's only because usually there's no problem in the Simanim, and therefore there's no real reason to check it at all. It's just rabbinic. So when you have a Chumran, there are abundant, sometimes you find inconsistencies, because we're not fully Machmer, we're not fully, right? We don't carry things out to their logical conclusion. But anytime there's a biblical suffix, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to split hairs like that.
But if this is a suffix d'oraita, why are we dealing with chazaka at all? It's suffix d'oraita l'chumra. And therefore, if this is something that we can never prove with the nick or anything, it's usher.
Right, so I mean, that's the Pnei Yeshua's argument. But again, that assumes a lot of things, right? Because A, you may have to assume against the Rambam that Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra is a biblical rule to begin with, right? According to the Rambam, Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra is itself rabbinic, right? On a biblical level, Chazaka, Safek is always L'Kula, even on a biblical prohibition. It's only a Chumra D'Rabbanan that D'Oraisas are, right?
Okay, but in any of these cases, is there any way that it could be clarified? In other words, the way the Gemara reads is that, and you have to prove otherwise. So it's, that's why it says chazaka, is it's a chazaka that it's not, you can't eat it until you can prove otherwise.
Right, which usually means you can't prove it and therefore you can't eat it. Usually. Correct. I mean, look, you can always, you know, figure out roves, right? Because suffolk darais only, may only apply by, right, when it's a 50-50, it might be a rove, right? It might have theoretically been a rove in the other direction, right? Lakula, but chazaka will override that, but that depends on whether chazaka overrides rove, which is part of the sigya there in the Gemara, right? What are the roves, what are the chazakas, right? So all these things are, there's a lot of factors in it. That's why, like, people spend like 3 months on those two blot and chulin. And
but basically, if there's a nick in the knife, it's automatically eser, and that's it. However you want to call it.
Yeah, unless you can prove that it was.
Can't you check the siman?
No,
it's too late.
Yeah, right.
So if there's a nick in the knife,
you know, unless you can prove that there was a, you know, unless you can find, you know,
there
meaning
was a suffix, right?
Unless
right.
You can prove that he didn't. Right, Nick was involved, right?
Right, or the Nick was, or you can, you know, prove that it got nicked on the bone on the way out, right? Which is the classic reason it would be kosher, right? As if you could prove that it was after you already shechted the simanim, however you would do that. And these are the parts of smicha where, like, I listened a little bit and then, like, I get very nauseous and I just can't, you know,
but essentially
I can.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, ostensibly.
The question is whether.
Yeah, no, essentially, these are sigas d'oraisa.
Can you recuse yourself from the shmita questions because you're a vegetarian and smicha?
It's not vegetarian, it's that I'll faint. No, it's that I would faint. I can't think about blood. I just can't do blood. I'm very, very sensitive to even thinking about blood, and I just pass out. Yeah.
Why would the Chav Smites' clear here on places be any different with Rashi? Just, I mean, why would that whole issue of Nevela and Tamei not come up? With Rashi.
I mean, it might be true for Rashi also. Rashi just doesn't weigh in, right? Rashi, but the right. It's specifically within Tosfos where this is the status of non shechted that he weighs in. He says non shechted means not shechted at all. Now, honestly, the Shev Shmaitza is pretty intuitive. The one which is not intuitive is the Shari Yosher, which sometimes happens. I mean. But that's in 14. So he has a very long analysis. I gave you like a tenth of it, but have you ever read the Shari Yosher? It's impossible. It's like it's so long. It's unreal how long the Shari Yosher is. I very rarely make it through Shari Yoshers. It's like I happen to know that this Shari Yosher is there. This is like when you learn the sugya, it's a Shev Shmaitza versus Shari Yosher. But yeah, I have trouble reading the Shari Yosher. But anyway, Shari, he's a clear writer. He's a very clear writer, He's a clear-ish writer as things go. Anyways, so this is what the Shari Yosher says. He says, "V'tos v'chodesh Rash v'Hashem Kasvu demandim rechizkas Yisrael medes harminim rechizkas tuma lor mina whom yishum derov pam shochei shapir v'shari mina raisa lachmir lasas nevela." Okay. So the Rashba had said that in this case. It's Becheskes Isser. It's Becheskes Isser, but not Tame, right? That's the first position in the Gemara in Chulin. And they explained that the reason is because normally when you shecht, it is a good shechita, and therefore it's just a, you know, midar abanan, we aren't machmer, right? That's what we already saw in the Shev Shmaitza. But then he continues, Umuchach midivrehem, the lule svaras harov, the kuleam, right? This is what the Avnei Miluim already assessed. That if it weren't for the fact that this case is unique, right, namely that there's a rove, which is pushing you in the direction of saying it's permitted, and it's on a derabanan level that we prohibit it at all, you would say that any time you have a chazaka, shena zvucha, it carries over for both implications. It's not kosher, and it's tameh. Vitzaruch beyur. But he says, I don't understand this. I don't know why he doesn't understand this. But, okay, he doesn't understand it. So it's fine. Kevin de shnei dinim nifradim heim. In the end of the day, these are two separate halachos. Iser nevela, v'tumas nevela. V'lama yahani cheskas iser l'tuma. He said, why should one chazaka carry over for two different implications? Now, I would give you the simple answer, right? Which is, we've already argued that Tosfos thinks chazaka isn't about statuses, it's about reality. If it's about reality, namely, I use a chazaka to determine the most probable course of events, and if I know it wasn't properly shechted, the chazaka tells me that unless I know otherwise, I can assume that it was never properly shechted. If you think that chazaka is about carrying over reality, so that's why all implications are carried over, right? That's why I would say the simple answer is, right? Tosfos holds, chazaka is about carrying over a fact pattern. If the fact pattern tells you it is now a nevela, it's a nevela for everything. That's what it means. But the Shev Shmaita, and that's what the Shev Shmaita seems to understand. But the Shari Yosher doesn't like this because he seems to believe that even according to Tosfos, unlike what we argued earlier, chazakas are localized, right? Not fact pattern provers, but simply hanagos, right? Carrying over halachic status. And therefore, he can't accept this because he says, look, it may be true that when the animal was alive, the chazaka she'ina zvucha, that it was not shechted, was meaningful vis-a-vis the prohibition to eat it. But it was meaningless in terms of the impurity status and tumah, because it may have been definitely usher to eat because of Eber Menachai or because of Eina Zvucha, but it wasn't tummy. That it wasn't. And therefore, he doesn't like this because he says, it's about carrying over specific practices, specific halachic orientations. And therefore, it's true that Nevela normally has two implications, but only one of them could possibly have pre-existed because there was, when it was alive, it was tahor. Right, it wasn't that there was no status, there was a status, namely it was good. So if you're carrying over chazaka, you should say that on the level of tumah, it's tahor, because it was tar when it was alive.
Right.
Now to make it tumah, you've got to prove that the shechita was bad. For the prohibition to eat it, I get it. It was not kosher before. It's so now, if you want to make it kosher, you've got to prove it's good. But tumah is the opposite. A live animal is pure. And therefore, he challenges. He says, "I get it." Uvesever shev shmeitza heyer gamkein bezavikas v'detam bezakevin the ena safik ba ela machmas shchitasta im nishchatok ogin ulo. He said, "I get it." The shev shmeitza said that it's about a fact pattern, namely, was it shechted or not? The kolshal nishchat kalacha mimela mitami b'masa k'din meitza. Right? The shev shmeitza thinks what we're worried about is facts. So, was it shechted? Yes or no? If the chazaka tells me it wasn't shechted, then all implications of something being an avela carry over. And therefore the Shev Shmaitza says, if I don't know halachically whether it was shechted, so then I assume that it wasn't shechted. If it wasn't shechted and it's dead, it's nevela for all intents and purposes. But Shari Yosher, again, he doubles down. He says, "Udvaramena move on him liklal." I don't understand what he's talking about. Dehanicha shemayilanu chazaka al atzmus hasafik shel maase hashchita lo mashi v'cheska shelo nishchita. He said that makes sense if there actually was a doubt about the shchita. Az hadavar pashut the kmo daaminin leinian iser das leinian batzar chazaka zu kmo chen leinian tuma da az avi inin chazaka kevin kein cheska saguf. Said if what was really going on was that you had a chazaka that the shechita was bad, so then you're right. All implications would carry over. But he said, read the words of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say that it's a chazaka that it wasn't shechted. Right? That's an invention. The words are isur. The chazaka is that it's prohibited. The lo b'cheska she'ina zvucha. It doesn't actually say what Tosfos says it says. It just says you can't eat it. V'cheska isur zem mefarshim b'Tosfos she'cheska isur she'ina zvucha. D'rachmona amar tizbach v'achalta. Tosfos invents this category. It says, what does it mean when it says asur? It means not shechted. Kimavur b'divrem perigimel debates, etc. V'atam bazed lo mukminen b'cheska she'ina shchuta. The chazaka kazos racha be'echam nishnei ofanim. It's because this chazaka can only come in one of two ways. Chazaka shlo nasa masa shlo chita v'lo nishtana hagof. One is that the shchita never happened, and therefore the body of the animal never changed. V'kemen de nasa masa shchita l'faneinu. But that's not what happened here. Right? He said, what happened here? It was shechted. Rak lo yadin nishchitu rov simanim olo. We don't know whether rov simanim were shechted or not. Lekakan shnei ofanei chazakos elu. Digam imlo nishk the ruba nasa shine vaguf. Umishum, right? One way or the other, it's now changed. Umishum achi lomin bazar rachit says iser. Kamosha was over iser. Meikav, or a kamoke namidanakazgazasur hivachila. Lufizek kashi says, okay, amai tahani cheskas israchila ledin tomashlo hochzika. Said, what's going on here? Right, I don't understand. Why, according to, right, why does the fact that we know it's not permitted to eat, why does that carry over for impurity? The adiraba, he said, I would argue the opposite. Nomar, hamidenu v'cheskas tahara. If we're really in a case of doubt, so then, just continue the chazakas as they are. The dintuma tali ba'atzmas ha-shechita, v'al'etzem ha-shechita like a chazaka. Right, there is no chazaka that the shechita was bad. And so we don't know whether it was good or bad. And since it's a suffake, so continue the previous known statuses. The previous known statuses were that it was not kosher, but that it was tahor. So why don't you split the two? V'nira l'fiyaniz dayi didef shalomar d'ikar hechshar shechita l'inyan tumas nevela talui b'dine iser achila. Said maybe... He said, in order to justify the Avnei Miluim's read, what you would have to say is that the Tumah, the impurity of Nevela, is itself a function of the prohibition to eat it. Right? You would have to connect the two statuses. Because anything which is shechted is still assumed alive until it actually dies. How do I know? Says because something could be theoretically dead, but still considered shchita. Shchuta. He says mefarcheset arek chayl chol dvareh. Right, you can have something which is shechted and alive, but they're not actually dependent on each other. Because if something was shechted but still moving, so the halacha is that it's considered shechted and a Jew can eat it, but a non-Jew can't eat it because it's considered alive but shechted. Right, which is a fascinating sugya for another time. But the point is that these aren't fully connected. Therefore, when you shecht an animal, it's not a nevela yet. You can't say the fact that it now dies in shechita is reason to permit it. Right, he brings the case of ben pakua, where something could actually be alive and still be called shechted. Right, and therefore life and death aren't actually connected to shechuta and not shechuta, because you could have something which is alive and still shechted. This is classic tells. It's like, you know, we're starting to like, oh, you can see, you can split the whole statuses, okay? Etc. Let's skip the next paragraph. Normally, right, when you shecht an animal, so now it's no longer alive. Okay. Thanks. Well, the visa, Yesh lomar, the chol ha-shechitos le-nevela heim bayim, betolda machmas din shenashtana b'chaim ikara. Right, so then he comes up with this argument. All shechitos, for the purpose of nevela, are a function of the fact that it is now changed. V'lo machmas masa ha-shechita atzma. Not because it was shechted, but because it's no longer as it was. Yeah. And therefore, if you have a doubt of shechita, ledin taras nevela, for the purpose of impurity, aleinu ledun tamid in nishtana b'chaim eikara, mayu badin cheskas chai. What we need to ask is there a chazaka that it was alive? Mimeluk shemesa achshav hi nevela, and therefore when it's now dead, it's a nevela. Rak cheskas chai b'chi gavka, avna eina cheskas chai b'shar duchta, but this chazaka that it's alive is not like a different one. Normally, a chazaka that something is alive means it's alive, like it's a fact issue. The hacha, the gamim nishchat rova simanim, gamkin adayin chayu betefa. If you shecht an animal and most of the simanim have been shechted, it may still be alive. Ella chazaka cheskas din chay, but it has a chazaka that it has a status of being alive even though it's shechted. That analysis should be very confusing. But what the Shari Yosher right contends.
Does he reverse himself?
A little bit, yes.
Yes.
So, I mean, he goes back and forth. But the reason everyone quotes Shari Yosher is because what he raises... The Avnei Milum is the simple one here. The Avnei Milum just says, look, what Tosfos thinks is there's a status called in a zvucha, which assumes a fact pattern. If something isn't shechted, we assume it's not shechted. If it's not shechted and it's dead, it's an avela. If it's an avela, there's two things that come from that. The Shari Yosher, though it goes back and forth, suggests that maybe that's not true. But in order for that not to be true, you have to really jump through hoops. And the argument he makes within that side, though he backtracked a little bit, is that if chazaka, even according to Tosfos, right, is not about a fact pattern, it's about status. So then on the level of status, you can actually divide. Because the animal was alive before and therefore tahor.
Right.
So now if you're at doubt, it'll continue to be tahor.
Right.
On the other hand, it was not shechted, which would make it not kosher. And now it still might not be shechted because the shechit is called into doubt, in which case it's not kosher. And therefore it could come out that it would be not kosher,
but tahor.
He says, why would you not say that way? Right? He plays both sides of it. Right? He says, that's why you would split it. Why would you not split it? Not for the simple reason that the Avnei Milum, that Shaul Shmaitza says, rather, which is, chazaka is about a fact pattern. Namely, it wasn't avela. It is dead, and it might not have been shechted, therefore it's probably an avela with all the implications. But rather, because he says, his whole fancy analysis assumes that the status of an animal being impure when it's an avela is distinct from the status of it being an avela for the purposes of not being kosher. But if you think that the tumah is related to the prohibition of it being usher to eat, then they could never be split. So he ends up playing both sides, and it goes back and forth, and then, right, as you
that,
saw this...
Can you say that last part again?
Right.
About the chila stuff?
Right, so he said, it could be that the reason you can't split it, so right, is not because it's about facts, but because maybe the iser tuma, right, meaning the status of impurity, is a derivation of the fact that it's not kosher. Right, that the not kosher status of nevela itself is what generates the iser to the tumah status. Right. Why that would be true, I don't know.
Some sort of siag,
right? That like the Torah tells you you're impure if you come in contact with a nevela to prevent you from eating it or something like that, right? And then he goes back and forth because in order to prove whether this is, whole analysis is true, he has to figure out whether something could be halachically alive but not shechted or halachically dead but all that stuff.
A new concept. In other words, we're learning machazikin iser le'iser.
With well, now we're on tuma, a different one, yeah.
But with his tuma concept, he has a new concept, machazikin heter leheter. Because he's saying it was alive, it was tahor. Now that it's dead, it gets the chazaka being tahor. I mean, this is more Rashi than it is Tosfos.
Correct. And that's what I think, at least in that stage of the Shari Yosher, it's more the way we understood Rashi. Correct. Right? The way I understood Tosfos is the way that Avnei Milum does. Right? That Tosfos is more fact-oriented. If you're fact-oriented, then any... status that would come from the fact would carry over. He understands Tosfos Rashi-like, that it's all about statuses, that even Tosfos is about statuses. And that, or at least, I mean, he does so, at some point.
Do we analysis. Have anywhere the concept of machazikin heter leheter? Like you have two different...
Yes. We do have machazikin heter leheter. I mean, sort of. You know.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But this idea that you, that the Yisra Chila somehow generates the Yisra Tumah, is a little harder to argue because we have many things that are usher be'achila that are not.
Kuner, well, I mean, specifically this one. I mean, the iser achila of nevela. Mm-hmm. It's a very complicated one. The iser achila of nevela generates the iser tumah of nevela.
Yeah, but why would that be automatic
know.
If you've seen, if you've seen other cases?
I agree with you. It's weird, right? I would just say, like, that. Right? I would have just said it's about fact patterns, right? That's how I understand that.
It's weird because it's not usher in hana.
Well, most things are not usher b'hana.
Well,
right.
You really want to make a prohibition.
Oh, fine, but you can, like, I mean, trying to figure out, yeah, but that's the exception, not the rule, right? Meaning, right, chametz is exceptional, also as an iser kares, it all is, you know.
Fat, isn't that the same thing, also, huh?
I mean, we go through different things, right? Some are iser b'hana, some are kares, you know. Okay, I gave you in the number 15, he tries to just sort of take out a little bit from the Shari Yosher, because the Shari Yosher is, sometimes hard to read. He says, Ayin od b'shar, Yosher, Shmavar b'Rashi, Lu Yitzur sh'behema chayel, Lo haya ba'isr eivr menachai, Lo haya ba'isr nevela. Right? Try that one on for size. Right? I didn't even give you that part in the Shari Yosher. Right? The Shari Yosher, then, in his analysis of Rashi, says that according to Rashi, if it was possible for an animal to be alive and not be Eivr Menachai, then it also wouldn't then become Nevela. Or,
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Meaning, right? This is a very Telzer Svar, right? Is like, if you could imagine that something could be alive but not be Eivr Menachai, so you might think that it would be a Nevela. Right?
This is better than Pilpul.
Right, but he said, no, it's not a nevela. If something was alive but not Eivr Menachai, it would be kosher. Well, that's his proof, that's his Ben Pakua one, right? That something could be alive, but it's not Eivr Menachai, and therefore it's, right. Klomar, Isra nevela chayav lahatchil, kishayesh b'chayim Isra Eivr Menachai. Right? The way Shari Yosher understands Rashi is that the Isra nevela is a status which is taken when something which used to be usher because it was Eivr Menachai dies without Shechita. Yeah.
So at least
Eivr
Menachai is the beginning of the veil.
Correct. Correct. And that's how he understands Rashi's Mechaskin HaMiyasul Isser. Right? Right? Meaning he has this fancy schmancy explanation of Rashi. Right? That, what does it mean that Rashi's Mechaskin HaMiyasul Isser? It's not random. It's not like any Isser carries over to another Isser. It's that Eivr Menachai, when reflected through life, is called Eivr Menachai. When reflected through death, is called Nevela. Because only something which was Eivr Menachai can become Nevela. But if he couldn't, honestly, these are the svaras that give me headaches, right? What does it mean that if something could be alive, but not usher because it was alive, then it wouldn't be Nevela when it died? Okay, good. Whatever. But that's the Shari Yosher's very complicated understanding of Rashi. Okay, the Hikshir Rabbi Kiva Eiger, Ba'agosel Shulchan Aruch Shitas Rashi, Dehimet, right? Now, Rabbi Kiva Eiger, going back to Rashi, I don't know why I put it here or not at the beginning, but whatever. Rabbi Kiva Eiger has a very serious problem on Rashi, a much bigger problem than we've seen before, and that is, Dehimet Matzinu Shitas Rav Meir, Deinus Rav Menachai Noag V'chaya Uva'of. The biggest problem that he notes is that according to Rabbi Meir in the Gemara, there is no Eifer Menachai on birds and chayas, even though there is a Chiyuv Shechita, right? And therefore, right, Rashi doesn't work because, I mean, you could always just say Rashi is only working within the way we paskin, but meaning there are Shechita in the Gemara that there can be an animal which doesn't have Eivr Menachai and still has the obligation of Shechita, and then what would happen, right? According to Rashi, ostensibly, if you had a suffix in the Shechita of a bird, it would be kosher because there's no Eivr Menachai to carry over, according to Rav Meir. Ulechorul, features of Rashi, lo tzarech shenag behem iser nevelo, bar shein adavar kem, it's not true. Vine primogadim psichli yordea gamken here chanal, right? The primogadim says the same thing. The kasev letarets, gam lefim on the yamar she iser Eivr Menachai lo noeg ba'of. So then the Prima Gadim comes up with this very, very fancy svara and says, even if there's no Isra Eivr Menachai on a bird, Barush Yevshar Litlosh Regel Of Lachol B'Shechita. You still can't pull off the leg of a bird and eat it without Shechita. Baal Karchach HaHekish Min Of L'Behema Milamdinu Sh'Of Neser Ba'odu B'Chaim L'Chein Meskin V'Yisr Zeh Gam B'Behema Va'Of. And the Prima Gadim therefore says, it must be that even if this is true, it's usher to eat a bird while it's alive, even if it's not called Eivr Menachai.
Like, what is
it? I don't know. In a zvucha? I don't know what it means. So like I said, this sugi is a bit confusing, but it's a very important sugi, because as we saw, the first week of it, this sugi is a, you know, locus classicus for the question of what exactly is chazaka, such that it could or couldn't carry over into different fact patterns. I mean, then we noted that even when the Chazaka Shein Zvucha, while the Shev Shmaita seems to fit within the model, that at least Tosfos thinks that Chazaka is about facts, and therefore, whatever you think is true about the animal, if it's Nevela, it's Nevela for all intents and purposes, the Shari Yosher is convinced that even Rashi has a, sorry, even Tosfos has a more formal status, and therefore, tries to explain the possibility of splitting Shechita and Tuma, Iser Achila and Iser Tuma. So he goes back and forth. And then you have this sort of Ha'ara at the end that Rashi is a bit complicated just because it is theoretically possible to have an animal which doesn't have an Eiver Menachai prohibition according to Meir, which according to him would ostensibly mean that if you shechted the animal and there was a suffix in the shechita, it should be kosher, which probably isn't true, which either disproves Rashi.
Ben Bakur, you can eat it live?
Yes.
Yeah. So then there's no Eiver Chai there, right?
Correct, right. So, I mean, there is such possibility.
Right.
And then Prima Gadim comes up with this far that I don't quite understand, which is that maybe it can be usher to eat while it's alive, but not because it's called Eiver Menachai, which I don't know what that means.
Getting back to Tosfos.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just bringing Rashi closer to Tosfos, so I don't know what we've accomplished on that, but that, just to know that that exists. Okay, we're going to finish with that, because going on, we'll go crazy.